Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download. Jones and Keefe.
On W-E-E-I.
Hunted. Looking. Flowers. The best pass. Like chase down. Knocked out. Injuries recover. It was Caleb on Chaseon, who came from behind and forced the fumble.
High noon. Jones and Keefe. W-E-E-I. No Keefe today. Chris Scheim alongside. The tears are up. At Jones and Keefe, they look beautiful. Although I realized, Scheim, as I tried to rank them in real time, left to right, I screwed up the bottom tier. I put the Raiders all the way to the left. I meant to put them all the way to the right.
We finally power ranked the tiers, and you messed it up?
Well, only one of the tiers. I only messed up one of the tiers. The other ones were all good.
All right, just read that tier backwards.
Yeah, that tier. Read that one in the mirror.
Yeah, please.
And it'll all work out
fine. The Raiders
fine.
Are definitely not the best of trash.
No. They are the worst of trash.
Yes, they are the worst.
I somehow messed that up. But otherwise, great work by me and Scheim. One of my favorite tiers we've ever done here on Jones and Keefe. That is no shot, Jaylen Brown style, at Rich Keefe not being here today. That's
no,
not what that is.
Definitely not.
That is just, you know, happened to be a good tiers.
Great
tiers. Seek those out at Jones and Keefe. Meanwhile, it is also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us at high noon every Tuesday. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. You know us. What did you think of that victory on Sunday night, and what does it mean for the Patriots moving forward? The Ravens have not been great. They're a game under 500. They were without Lamar Jackson, and yet they're down 11. They storm back and get the victory. What does that win say about them?
It says that they were able to blink in that game, to fall behind, to have turnovers, to have a fake punt go south, to not be able to stop people on the ground, to survive a decent backup quarterback performance from Tyrod Taylor, to have their faults exposed in their run defense, and not to say, no, boy, I guess we're not that good. Same thing happened last week. So to me, I think it's a major triumph. You know, as the Buffalo game earlier this season acted as fuel, I think, for this team to believe in itself, I think this bounce-back win will serve as some kind of fuel for them late in the season, for however far they go.
Tom, how important, though, do you think it was for Drake May? There was like a lingering storyline where he really hadn't had a great fourth quarter comeback. Can this guy do it in crunch time? And then he goes out from 11 points down to the Ravens in the fourth quarter and goes out and wins the football game. How important was it for Drake May?
That's a great question, and I appreciate it because I was asking the same thing. But for Drake May, the individual, the actual person, the guy who resides in between those two ears and under the hair, doesn't matter a bit, because for us it matters a ton, because now we can change the conversation a little bit, and Jones will say, yeah, but he did it once, and what about all the other times?
I have been saying that, yes.
Yeah.
Have you really?
No. But that is, I understand why you think I might be, yes.
Yeah. It's on the launch pad. But I don't think it matters to May. I mean, he has blind faith in himself at this point, because we talked about this a little bit on Early Edition last night. We're talking about confidence. Confidence is one thing. Faith is the ability to see something or believe in something that hasn't happened. He hasn't come from behind in a high-leverage game. Buffalo, to an extent, but that was a different situation. You know, I believe it was a tie game or whatever it was. This one was different. So he has great confidence and faith in himself. For us, on the outside, it changes our conversation. But the longer I do this, the more I realize the outside conversation doesn't really matter. What's the national perspective on the Patriots? Who gives a poop? Who cares?
So, I mean, I agree with that on some level. Like, who cares about the narrative street and things like that? On the other, though, I mean, you know this, Tom. You've covered the team for a long time. You could look across the huddle when Tom Brady was there and go, well, we're never out of a game because they came back so many different times. And not to say Drake is Tom Brady, but at some point you do need to start leading those come from behind drives, or you're looking across the huddle going, can this guy do it? And I think, yeah. The outside noise does not matter, but it does matter at some point for him to do that and get that done and show that he can do it for the guys in the huddle.
Yes. But I don't think that Morgan Moses or Mac Hollins or somebody is looking across the huddle with sweat dripping off their nose and saying, he's never done this, can we do it? And I'm sure that you would agree with that. So to me, they're not looking across the huddle at somebody who's completely incapable of it. I think that they will look across, well, maybe he hasn't done it, but he's going to, so I'd like to be there for it. He's just a really, really good player. I don't want to get too far down into that, because there's a bunch of other things we can talk about, but I think it was important, but I don't think it was vital. It was inevitable that it was going to happen, and it shows how much faith he has in himself and confidence that he could confront it the week after it didn't work out in Buffalo and say, yeah, I want that shot again.
Another guy that has supreme confidence in himself would be Stephon Diggs. He was constantly keeping the guys up on the sidelines, telling them to keep their chin up. Are they going to kind of pick their spots when Diggs kind of pops off, Tom? Because, I mean, prior to Sunday's game, he hadn't really had a great game in, what, like a month or so? And so I know he's older and still coming off that ACL injury. Are they really going to be careful of, like, picking their spots and making sure he's ready for the playoffs?
I don't think that when Josh McDaniels runs the offense that exists a ton. I think there's a tiny segment of it, Chris, where, hey, let's try and get the ball here. But I think it's generally dictated by what's going on. And we talked on Sunday, and you guys asked about Diggs, and I thought I hadn't even really noticed it, because the offense was succeeding. So why does Diggs have to have more targets and numbers if the offense is not bogged down? So if he plays, and I do think that he played with a little bit more verve on Sunday, not to say that he didn't play hard previously, but maybe he said, hey, I'm going to have some opportunities tonight. And you saw it on the way he ran on that 4th-and-2. He was friggin' flying. So I think he's going to be a critical factor for the team. Been a great teammate, been a tremendous leader, and has done a great job being intentional of being a leader since he got here. So if you're the Patriots, you couldn't be happier that you ended up with that player instead of an Ayuk, a Metcalf, a Godwin, a Calvin Ridley, you name it.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Chime in for Keefe today. It's time now, and we gave, or you gave, quite a few Drake takes here already, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. But let's get one more Drake take here. I heard you talking about this on the postgame show on NBC Sports Boston on Sunday night. The way that Drake talks at the podium is very fast, and you know everything seems to be moving very quickly with him. And yet on the field, he seems to process things very well. I know that kind of alignment or even lack thereof is very interesting to you. So how do you kind of square those two things away with Drake? Everything seems to be moving a million miles a minute, except on the football field where it seems to be moving slower and slower for him.
Thank you for asking that. Thanks for watching. It has slowed down, though. His presence at the podium is far different if you put him side by side with last year. And even earlier this year, he has slowed down a great deal at the podium. And I think his answer is, and I think his podium presence has been excellent. But that, who cares about that? I think it's, for me, I mean, it's media stuff. But he has a very quick mind. And he processes quickly. Sometimes I think individuals can get, myself included, addled, thinking too quickly, speaking too quickly. You don't process things, or you fixate on one thing that didn't go well and you can't move on to the next thing. He seems like he has a mental to-do list, and he crosses things off in order very quickly and moves on to the next thing, especially when the ball is snapped. And the number of things that he could get fixated on, whether it be, oh, I didn't have two hands on the ball again. I did that earlier this year against Pittsburgh. I did it against Atlanta. I just did it again tonight. We're trying to come back. We're trying to have a game here, and I just screwed up. He's like, no, well, yeah, dropped it. Not going to do that again. He just moves on. It's remarkable.
Tom, is there an AFC team that scares you now that the playoffs have been clinched for the New England Patriots? Is there a team that you just feel is a really bad matchup for this team?
I think that the Patriots are a little bit of a one-man gang in terms of, not talent, that would be an unfair thing to say, but they have places on their roster where I think other teams will look at and go, we can deal with that. But with Drake May, I think that he's one of the most difficult players to deal with in the league this year. So I think I would say Denver, Houston, and the Bills would be the three main teams that I think could be a real pain in the ass because of the defense the first two play and because of the presence of Josh Allen. I wonder, on the flip side, and Phil and I talked about this on the Patriots Talk podcast, how many teams look at the Patriots and say, we wouldn't mind playing them? And I bet that there's probably a few that would say that because of, you know, the red zone issues they've had, the run defense issues they've had, the fact that teams can look at them and say, they had two Pro Bowlers. How good is this team? But I think the Patriots are running on a lot of intangibles right now. And this isn't to slight them at all. I'm just saying that when you look at around the league, or if teams around the league who are playoff bound look at the Patriots, they could say, we should be able to deal with them. The guy is a problem, but shouldn't we be able to deal with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are probably teams looking at the Patriots that way, and maybe that's underscored by the Pro Bowl rosters that came out today. Patriots have two, Drake May and Christian Gonzalez. Regardless of whether you think Gonzalez is a deserving Pro Bowler, how do you think his year has gone this year, specifically how it went down on national TV on Sunday night where he struggled against Zay Flowers and DeAndre Hopkins?
I think he's had a good year, especially given where we were at the very outset of the season, that he's bounced back, played at a high level, Pro Bowl level as he's going in. He's got that honor. I still think he's a shutdown corner, and he would deserve his next contract, and I wouldn't look at the Zay Flowers or DeAndre Hopkins situations, allowed completions as being detrimental. Phil was like, he's not even in the play on some of these. And then the second half, played better at an outstanding tackle on Derrick Henry, knocking down a stiff arm. So I think he's a good player. I think there's some plays that he gets beat on, but overall, I'll be interested to see if Zay Flowers is a different kind of receiver than some of the long, tall outside receivers it deals with. So chasing across the field might not be the best matchup for him with a quick guy, but I don't think that he's overmatched by any stretch.
Tom, I know we got a bit of a Milton Williams update today. He will be practicing this week. Do you believe he'll be ready to go for the Jets game on Sunday, or do you think it'll take another week?
I have no idea. Honestly, I could not even begin to project, to be really honest. I mean, I don't know what the medical reports are. I haven't even seen his full or limited participant. I just talked to him in the locker room, and he's basically saying, I'm going to see how I feel and see how it goes out there. So I can't even guess, Chris. Sorry.
No worries. Did he at least seem confident that he'll be all right at practice this week?
he seemed like he wants to find out.
Okay.
That's all. You know, he talked about his wind and whether or not that will be there as he comes back. So I think all of it's TBD.
Okay. He's Tommy Curran. Check him out. NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. It's Tommy Tuesday. Tom, we appreciate the time. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the whole season. It's been fun. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI. I would say, and it's probably too early to know if he's going to play on Sunday or not, Milton Williams. The fact he's out there and says he's going to give it a go. Vrabel said he's going to practice. He's not just practicing at some point this week. He's practicing on, what is it, Tuesday? Are they practicing today? Right?
Practicing? So. Yeah.
They are, because they're not practicing on Christmas. So they're out there today. So it'll be what? They'll practice the next couple of days and then going into the game. I would imagine that's a good sign for him playing. And even if he doesn't play this week against the Jets, it's a good sign for him being back for the playoffs, which is what really matters.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play versus the Jets, if I'm being honest. I was just kind of curious if Tom got a sense of where he's at all, just because he was there and he talked to him. But I don't expect him to, because to me, this Jets game very much feels like a, all right, we got to get in here, get a win, and get out as healthy as possible. That stadium has been a nightmare of injuries for all different kinds of teams, whether it was the 49ers, the Giants, the Jets, you name it. That place always gets guys hurt. It's get in, get out as fast as possible with a win, and move on to the next week. So I don't think that they'll risk Milton Williams re-injuring anything, is my guess.
So either way, though, he's eligible to come back this week.
Yep.
Will Campbell is next week, if
correct.
I'm not mistaken?
Yep. After the Jets game will be game number four.
And so I guess in a perfect world, I'd like those guys to come back and get like a game under their belt,
mm-hmm.
game action. But also, if you're talking about, and I guess in a perfect world, they're the one seed. Denver loses one of these final two. Patriots beat the Jets and Dolphins. Milton Williams comes back this week or next. Will Campbell gets a cameo next week against the Dolphins. They both have a game under their belt. They get a chance to rest on the bye week and then come back. I think that would be ideal, but everything seems to be trending in the right direction, certainly for Milton Williams back out there. Who knows what level he'll play at?
Yeah.
Who knows if he can anchor down?
They need him so bad.
They do. Who knows if he can anchor down on that? And their run defense has started to slip just a touch without him.
More than a touch.
No. Just a touch even when he was out there is what I meant to say.
Okay.
The Tampa game was, he played the full Tampa game.
I mean, they let up, what, 50 yards to Sean Tucker?
They hadn't done it prior, was my only point. And they gave up over 4 yards a pop in that game. And then the Jets game, he started. They were getting run on, but he came out on the first drive of that one. I do think getting Spillane back will help, too. I don't really know where he's at.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is. Because he talked to us Friday. I think that was one of the more interesting things, is he talked to us on Friday. Normally when guys are hurt, they don't end up talking to us. He talked to us on Friday and then didn't end up playing in that game Sunday. And so that to me, and that was against the Bills, not even the Ravens game. That was prior to the Bills game. And he was suited up and on the sidelines, but they just didn't play.
Weird.
Very weird.
I think he'll help, but I would just, anybody who's like, oh, they've just been run on the last two games because Spillane isn't out there is wrong. They were getting run on a ton, even with Spillane out there. But getting all hands on deck would be helpful for the Patriots. A couple of guys are going to be out, it seems, or at least in the concussion protocol early on in the week. Henderson, Booty, and Jared Wilson. So I'm not sure I'd expect any of them against the Jets, but good news, I'm not sure you need any of them against the New York Jets.
Yeah, Brady Cook is not going to kill you.
No, I do not think so. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the Patriots Super Bowl dreaming. Could it be their year? And we'll react to a little bit of what we saw last night on Monday Night Football. I think Scheim has a good parallel for the Patriots. We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy.
The coach and the quarterback are heard live here every Patriots Monday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Boston Celtics are now on a three-game winning streak after last night's 103-95 victory over the Indiana Pacers at the TD Garden last night. Season now off until Friday, when they will be in Indiana to play the Pacers once again. New England Patriots quarterback Drake May and cornerback Christian Gonzalez have been selected to the Pro Bowl. This Sunday, the Patriots will be in New York to take on the Jets. Last night on Monday Night Football, the San Francisco 49ers defeated the Indianapolis Colts 48-27. Tonight, the Boston Bruins wrap up a five-game homestand with a matchup against the Montreal Canadiens. The Bees are looking to snap a three-game losing streak. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. And last night, the Boston College Eagles defeated FDU 72-61. Up next for BC, the Eagles will host Lemoyne on Sunday afternoon. Want to get on the nice list this holiday season? Help your friends, family, and businesses by helping them find money at findmassmoney.gov. It takes only 30 seconds, and if you haven't checked in a few months, go now and look. They're constantly updating the list. Find massmoney.gov. It's fast, easy, and free. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
When you watch that back, can you just explain a little bit about
that? Yeah, not the fake punt return. I wish we were returning it there. You know, something that we had practiced, something that I felt confident in. I wouldn't have called it if we didn't feel confident in it. Unfortunately, it didn't work. So it was a bad call by me. And, you know, just told Tay to throw it. You know what I mean? Give it a chance. Give Jack a chance. If the guy dropped out of there, he dropped out of there. But try to give it a chance. It certainly wasn't designed to, you know, to run, and he just, you know, felt like it wasn't there, and he made a decision. So I made a decision to try the play. I'll make other calls, and there'll be good ones, and there'll be, you know, bad ones as well. So just felt like we needed something there, and it didn't go our way. And credit to the guys. You know, we kept playing and found a way to win the game. So,
well, good for Vrabel. I think it's a little easier to fall on the sword, if you will,
because you won the game.
After you won, then it didn't blow up in your face. But good for him taking the blame. That was my call. It was a bad call. He did throw Mapu under the bus a little bit. He's like, I told him to throw it. But it wasn't there. I guess in that scenario, unless it was a pick six, if you're throwing it down the field, you wouldn't have at least lost a yard. Maybe there's a little field position in there. It's like a minor dig at Marte Mapu. But overall, I'd say good for him. It is his call.
Yep.
You're the head coach. Fall on the sword for it. That's also kind of your job as the head coach, not to throw other people under the bus, though he's been doing it all year with Josh McDaniels. So good for him. That's a good answer.
My biggest issue with that fake punt, by the way, was not that they went for it. I hated it. I hated the situation, and I hated the moment they went for it. My bigger issue was you told everybody you were going to do it because you tried to do it earlier in the game. Collinsworth called it out on the broadcast. He goes, they were looking for a fake punt. They didn't get the look they wanted. They took the delay of game penalty. Now they'll just punt it away. You told the Ravens you were going to do it, and then you went and did it later in the game. Like, if you're going to do that, you just have to pick a spot and commit to it. And then if it doesn't work, you don't pull it back out again. Like, that was my biggest issue with it. You can't just – sometimes when a bit doesn't work, you can't keep driving the bit into the ground.
Well, you're talking to the wrong show for that. But you know, when it comes to that decision, I'm sorry, I hated it. And it's not even the play call. It's 4th and 10. There's 2:42 left in the third quarter, and it's Tyrod – it's not Tyrod Taylor. Jesus, Curran screwed me up.
It's Tyler Huntley.
Snoop Huntley. Thank you. It's not Tyrod Taylor. Snoop Huntley. And you're down in the game by 4 points.
Yeah,
you're not down two scores. And you also give Snoop Huntley and Derrick Henry a short field. If you punt down the field and make them go 80 yards and they score, tip your cap. When they only have to go 44 yards because you screwed up the fake punt. So all of it situationally, you make a good point about forecasting it and everything else. But I think it was a horrible decision based on the game. It was panicky. You didn't need to panic. You were down 4 to a backup quarterback, and now you're letting him go on a short field. I thought it was a horrible decision, but at least Vrabel is copping to that.
He's very lucky Drake May had the comeback he did. Otherwise, people would take it as a he didn't believe in his quarterback moment. He didn't believe his team could actually go down the field and win. Because I'll be honest with you, Jones, if he had just lined up Drake May on 4th and 10 and gone for it, I would have been like, the ball's on you. I love this. Like, if there's anybody that's going to get a 4th and 10, it's Drake May. Why are we fake punting?
I love that on the drive before that, they didn't go for it on 4th and 2. I hated the third down play call to take a deep shot to Stevenson.
Yep. I thought they were going for it when I saw that play call,
by the way. Me too. And I thought that the week before when they hucked one deep down the field to Mac Hollins against Buffalo, I'm like, why are they going down the field? Oh, they must be going for it on 4th down. They didn't in either scenario. Typically, you're deep in your opponent's position, side of the field, rather, their territory. And it's 4th and 2. I would want you to go for it with Drake May. However, with Lamar out of the game and Huntley in the game, I thought taking the points there was smart. So I felt like those two decisions also didn't align. It's like you just took the points and played conservative and didn't go for it on 4th and 2. Now you're going to go for it without Drake May on the field on a 4th and 10 just because you're down one score. Kick it to them. Make them go down the field. They probably won't. And then you're going to get the ball back in the same spot. I felt like it was way too panicky and inconsistent.
Yeah, it was panicky. It absolutely was. And again, like you told everybody on the planet they were going to do it. I'm curious. Is Stretch listening? Does he have anybody listening to the game broadcast?
Oh, I don't know. You're the ones who talk to Stretch every week.
NFL. No, we don't get to talk.
Well,
to
he's
Stretch.
There. He's listening.
Yeah, he's in the background.
Yeah.
No, but like NFL teams need to have just a guy listening to the game broadcast because former NFL players can see it. Like Romo will say something and he'll broadcast it, and if you hear them say that, if he can see it, the other team can see it. Like you should just know. Oh, we probably shouldn't do this today. Let's keep this one in the back pocket for another time. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, or if they don't see it, they might reveal something that they learned in a production meeting.
Yeah.
You know, so whether Collinsworth really saw that or he was tipped off to it in a production meeting, which I wouldn't rule out.
Which is very possible.
Either way, if you're monitoring the game broadcast, yeah. That's why Stephen Jones got in trouble the other with the walkie-talkie. Are you relaying stuff from the game broadcast down? That's why you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's just, Patriots aren't exactly rule followers over the course of time, so. No. If anybody was going to do it, it'd be them.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I didn't like it. I didn't like the play call. I didn't like the fact that you forecasted it earlier in the game. I hated all that. If you're going to go for it on 4th down, just put Drake May out there. I felt like it was this weird panicky move. That was the perfect word for it. It was panicky. Your defense wasn't great, but at the same time, it's Tyler Huntley. It's not Lamar Jackson. And even if it was Lamar Jackson, like, he hasn't been great this year.
Nope.
He's been banged up. He's been hurt. He's been very limited offensively, and so I just felt like it was a very un-Vrabel-like move for Vrabel.
Yeah. I mean, look, if they lost the game, I think you could kiss Coach of the Year goodbye, and you'd kiss the one seed goodbye, maybe the division goodbye. Like, a lot swung on that decision there, or could have swung, I should say, on that decision there. So why are we still talking about the fake punt on a Tuesday? Because Vrabel just finally talked about it, so we reacted to that quick. Meanwhile, we talked about what that win on Sunday meant for the Patriots. What do you think it meant for the Pats and for Drake May, Sean?
Yeah, I think this means the Super Bowl's back on. Like, post-Bills loss, everybody was all depressed because you lost to the best football player on the planet, and he came back. You were up 24-7. But this week, you came back from 11 points down. It's the first double-digit comeback, or the first 11-plus point comeback you've had since that Falcons Super Bowl.
Like, it's crazy.
It's insane. It's almost insane as the Niners having not punted since November.
That might be crazier, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just to know that you have the ability to do that, to know your quarterback has the confidence and the ability and the wherewithal to do it and know when to take his shots. I think that's the key thing, right? Is McDaniels and May planned it perfectly on how and when to take their shots. They chip their way down the field. They're down 11 in the fourth quarter. They're moving their way down the field, 5 yards here, 7 yards here, 4 yards on the next play. They get to about midfield. Drake sees one-on-one coverage with Kyle Williams, and he gives him a shot. And Drake May has been the best deep ball thrower in football all year, and so whenever he takes his shot, he allows the receiver to at least make a play. He did it with Kyle Williams. He did it later in the game with Booty, and a flag was not thrown on that play. That was a great shot as well. One-on-one coverage for their best deep ball threat. The Kyle Williams one succeeded. The Booty one not so much, but it didn't end up mattering. And so I think that is, like, the key is you know a good team is – one of the better teams in football, when at any point in time, they can get a 20-plus yard play. Like, they got the 20-yard play to Mac Hollins early in one of those drives to kickstart them. Drake making hit.
Diggs had a bunch of them. Diggs had a 20-yard catch. He had a 33-yard catch and run. He had 20-whatever yards on the fourth and two. Yep.
So I just feel like the explosion ability, and you never know who it's coming from, where it's coming, that alone to me puts them at the top of the heap in the AFC, because I don't feel that way about Denver. Like, I don't think at any point in time Bo Nix can pull out a 25-yard play. I think there are times he can, but I don't think it's consistent enough. Like, the guys that can do that in the AFC are Josh Allen and Drake May. That's it.
Not Herbert?
I don't think so.
That's a pretty explosive offense.
I guess, but they play very conservative.
The Chargers don't scare me, but can they hit explosive plays? I do think so.
I guess, but I just don't think that's not their style. They don't go hunting for it, I guess is the way I would put it, right? Is Herbert will take his chances in the red zone, but like from his own 30, it doesn't feel like they will hunt that big explosive play that keeps them going momentum-wise. They like to move it long, methodical drives down the field, running. That's why Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator with Jim Harbaugh. That's just the way he runs his offense. It's very conservative. It's not explosion-based. And so I think that's kind of the difference.
So what the win for me represents, and you just talked about the Booty pass interference, 85, by the way, on the Hunter Henry surprise skill. They didn't throw a flag on that play.
Me too.
What that says to me is bad teams pack it in when a call like that goes against them, and then they spend the whole week whining about it. You know, I was worried about this with Vrabel. Vrabel's crying about the refs after the Bills game, and he's done it a couple of different times this year. Bad teams pack it in when a call goes against them, and good teams overcome it. And I didn't think they were going to lose. They weren't down 11 because of the refs. I didn't think they were going to lose the game because of the refs. That was a bad call and a bang-bang call that went against them, and really not even a bang-bang call. An obvious one that went against them. And what do? They brush themselves up. They get back up. They march right down the field. They score. And then they get, they force a fumble on top of that. Yep. Great play by Kalavon Chasen.
Awesome play.
And then when you have to run out the clock, they did. And the Baltimore Ravens never touched the football again. That's what good teams do. Now, can the Patriots do that against every opponent? Could they do that in Denver? Can they do that against Buffalo?
If Houston
in a
comes
third
to
matchup,
town.
Houston. Right. So, like, I understand the opponent on the other side. The Ravens are 7-8. Lamar Jackson didn't play in the second half. They forgot about Derrick Henry. So I get all those things. The fact they were able to do that to me is very promising and maybe even more telling than the come-from-behind win by itself. Just able to brush that off and not worry about it and go out and get the win and move past it. I do think that's the hallmark of a good team.
I agree with you. I totally agree. I'm curious from your perspective, is this like the worst season of refereeing we've ever had? It feels,
I mean, maybe, but
more
then,
under a spotlight.
But then,
than
like,
it ever
ask me what the last worst season of refereeing was, and I wouldn't know the answer. Like, I just think we're prisoners of the moment on that.
Yeah,
like we're all. I mean, last
between like the Lions, the end of the Lions game.
I don't know if
that,
they. I don't even know if they really got anything wrong in the Lions game, but just
no,
how
just
long that, how long it took, and how much of a mess it was. Yeah, I mean, but again, fine. This is the worst refereed year ever. Maybe what's the next worst? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like
that's fair.
I can think of the horrible call where there was no pass interference. What was the playoff game?
The Rams Saints one, that one?
Yes, thank you.
where they had to like change the rules and make it reviewable on pass interference.
So and they threw that out the window as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of like individual calls, I guess, but like what was the next worst refereed season ever? I'd probably guess the year before that and then the year before that.
Fair enough.
And then the year before that would be my guess.
Yeah, I just, and maybe I'm trying to make excuses for Mike Vrabel because he has complained about the refs all year. You're right on that. But to be fair, like it was while they were winning as well. So at least he's consistent
He's whining about the officials when they're 12-3.
Yeah.
Like I can't even imagine what he'd do in a bad year in Tennessee or something.
Yeah,
like
and I also understand why he was a little more nonchalant after the Buffalo game because he knew his team could respond. They didn't respond right away in that Ravens game. It took them a minute, but they ended up responding. And so I don't expect them to stumble at all here in the last 2 weeks of the season. That'll give them a good chance at the number one seed, just shy of 50% chance at the number one seed. All you need is for Denver to screw up, preferably against the Chargers in week 18, seeing as they get the Chiefs this week. And
I don't think they're losing to them.
Yeah, who's their quarterback? Chris Oladokun?
I don't know. I never heard of him. He was out there running around. I'm like, I feel like I watch, brag, a fair amount of college football. No idea who that, like, literally no clue who that
was. You're not familiar with, I think it's South Dakota State legend, Chris Oladokun?
I was not. When he was out there, I was not very well versed in that.
He's not going to be our random player of the day, right?
Stay tuned and find out in the grab bag. Real quick, another update on the Patriots injury front. This is from Rap Sheet. Kyrus Tonga, who he lists as D-tackle and fullback, knocked out in the last game with a foot injury, has a 1 or 2 week injury. Sources say good result for a do-it-all player with New England's playoff appearance on the horizon. So it sounds like he won't play these next couple of weeks, which is
more
maybe,
Corey Durden time, I guess.
Maybe. He's on the way out with maybe Milton Williams on the way back in, but it doesn't sound like he's going to miss playoff time.
Didn't Farmer get hurt in that game, too? So your D-tackle depth is dwindling fast.
What was it? Was it a concussion? Because not to downplay a concussion, but like those guys should all be back for the postseason, you'd imagine. What was it with him?
Yeah, because he was ruled out of the Ravens game.
Farmer was hamstring.
Yeah. So, yeah, your D-tackle depth is dwindling fast, it feels like. It's like Barmore, Durden, and that's it right now. So you desperately need Milton Williams back, not just because your defense was more efficient when he was on the field, but because you're running out of bodies.
This is a good one. Worst ref season, the year the normal refs were on strike. That first month was bad. That was a bad one.
That's a good one. Aaron Rodgers let you know about that.
That's a good one, actually. Okay.
Replacement refs. I lost a lot of money on that game. That was tough.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I was big on the Packers in that game.
I'm an up and up man. So I only started really sports gambling once the apps went legal.
I only remember because like my buddies and I because I
sick brag.
I'm not a rule breaker. That's not me. I'm just not.
Get that ready. Yeah. I lost the money on that game, but I won it all back on Keno.
Sick brag, bro.
So it didn't matter.
Nice.
Yeah, I hit 450 that night on Keno. It was a great day for me.
All right, maybe you can tell me your Keno strategy off the air. I don't want you to spoil it for everybody, but
pretty
maybe,
simple.
Maybe
play the same five numbers. And
like
just
it.
Watch the money roll in.
Yeah.
Watch the money roll in. 617-779-7937. Shime in for Keefe today. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll have a little Christmas fun coming up next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Shime in for Keith. Now, Shime had a good idea for a Tuesday trio.
Thank you.
Like a top three almost.
Yeah, sort of.
On the holiday Christmas season. So I want to get Shime's Tuesday trio coming up here with Christmas. But I also, and Billy had this idea yesterday, he's like, we could discuss best and worst gifts we've received here in the holiday season. So I'm curious, Shime, your best and worst gift that you've received.
So I think the best gift I ever got, and it was the most creative, was my buddy got an old, like I took an old record and sent it to this guy, and he had it carved out so it was a silhouette of Batman standing over Gotham City in an old record and then was turned into a clock. Like, it was sick. It was this, yeah.
Wait, say that again? So it's a record carved out but turned into a clock.
Yep.
Shaped like Batman
like
staring over Gotham City.
Batman like standing on a building over Gotham City.
Wow.
Sick. Yeah, it's super dope. That was definitely the most creative gift
so
I've ever received.
So where is this is this featured prominently in your home?
Yeah, it's
or you have to like hide it in like a secret room.
It's where in like one of those
your where fiance doesn't want to see it.
What's it called? Like a shadow box? Is that what it's called? Yeah, it's in one of those. And it's like in the yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, it's sick.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Worst?
All right. I hate to throw my dad under the bus, but I'm going to throw my dad under the bus.
Great.
I was 12. I was playing a lot of baseball at the time, and I had been promised new catching.
Sick brag, bro.
I was a catcher. I was promised new catcher's equipment in the spring for the baseball season. So I was like, all right, sick. And I really want, I think it was like a new bike or something I wanted. Nope, I got catcher's equipment for my Christmas present. I'm like, Dad, you told me I was just going to get this for baseball. Now you're just making it my gift? What the hell is this? So I was pissed.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's something you wanted, but just you thought you were going to get double gifts.
No, no, no. It was when the springtime came, I needed new catcher's equipment. I had outgrown my old stuff, needed new stuff. So that was just an essential of playing the sport. I didn't think it was going to be my Christmas gift. I'm like, this is a waste of a Christmas gift. I wouldn't have asked for it. I'd just deal with the old stuff if I had to.
Nice.
So, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think the best gift I got, I only caught for 1 year because I hated it, but I didn't know this yet. I got a catcher's mitt for Christmas.
Nice.
Like, very nice. My grandparents got this for me. Very, very nice gift. There's a nice Christmas picture of a very overjoyed, like, 8 or 9 year old Adam Jones with his catcher's mitt. So that would be top of my list. You tell me if this counts, Billy. It's a gift I didn't receive. Does this count as like a worse gift?
I mean, I feel like you would have had to get it.
The absence of the gift. No. So I'm very much in favor of regifting.
That's what his wife says every day.
I don't need to drudge that back up. No, yeah. No, I did. No, I still to this day, I wanted the Ninja Turtles like pizza hucking van.
Oh, the van. Yeah.
Are you too little for this? You guys would be more
like a pog shooter.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yep. It would shoot little pizza pogs.
Yeah.
And I very desperately wanted it. It could not have been. You know, no offense to my parents, but it couldn't have been like the most expensive Christmas gift. I'm sure it was just from a long line of last second Christmas shoppers as a Jones.
Same.
Over here. And so maybe they just showed up to the store and it was all sold out. But it was the opposite of the picture with the catcher's mitt.
So anything you got that year was going to be worse than like the worst gift you ever received.
Probably.
Because it wasn't the teenage.
Yeah, I don't even remember what else I got that year.
The rest of the day.
Yes, yeah. I just remember the absence of the Ninja Turtles fan.
I get that.
Billy?
I'm trying to think if there's anything that I was really like, ugh. Like, obviously when you're younger, like, you hate getting socks. You hate getting...
Yeah, there's somebody's you know aunt or nana, I mean, is giving you socks. You're,
I mean,
getting,
look,
those.
My Santa Claus was always very good to me. I wasn't... I would always shoot high. I would always put something on the list that I knew was a long shot, and if I got it, it was a bonus. Socks always sucked.
Yeah.
Socks are the worst.
I don't know. I like a good warm pair of socks.
Now...
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Like,
now.
Right now, I'm like, yes, I could use new underwear. Yes, I could use some new socks. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
point.
You know, 6 or 7 year old me is like,
look,
come on.
I could use them. I'm never, like, overly stoked about opening that, though.
That was my failure. For his catcher's equipment was my socks and underwear.
I got a sock situation in my life because my godfather's wife.
Yep.
She gives novelty socks to everybody, and
nice.
I don't want to make her feel bad. So I always like I'm like really excited about
it. Oh no!
So now I get them for my birthday. I get them for Christmas.
Oh, no.
Sometimes I get them.
You
for
did this
Easter.
To yourself.
You were trying to be a nice person.
That's classic, like, older lady stuff.
That's what you get for being nice.
If they get a shred of thinking you like something,
oh my
you're
going
to be flooded.
Great point.
It.
Now,
almost every time I go there, it's like, oh, hey, new socks for you.
The sock guy's here. Oh, I got more socks. That's great.
That's why the only time you can actually be excited when you get a gift from someone like that is if it's like cookies and they taste really good. Because then I want more cookies.
Yeah,
always
fair.
Want more cookies.
Okay.
She makes good pot cookies, so.
Oh, there you go.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. How about that? Sweet. Right. Well, it's not all bad.
Wiggy's going to need that number.
I want to hear the Chris Scheim Tuesday trio for Christmas, your three things at Christmas.
Yeah, so the three best things about Christmas, right? This is the best things about Christmas for me.
Sure.
Number one, without a doubt, I think with a bullet, Christmas music is the best thing about Christmas. It gets you in the spirit. It's a beat. It's enjoyable. Everybody knows the words, so you're all singing along together. Mm. It doesn't matter if you're a good singer, you're a bad singer, or you're the Chipmunks. Everybody likes it. Christmas music, number one.
Okay, I like this. I'll tell you, I used to be much more of a, this will shock you, Scrooge and Grinch about Christmas music.
I don't believe that.
I'm like, give me the week of Christmas. I don't want to hear it before that. However, since Lucas has been born, I'm much more okay with like pretty much the second Thanksgiving ends.
Yeah.
Get the Christmas music
Fire
going.
It up.
It melted my heart to a degree. Or my black heart, as it were. Okay, so I'm with you on that. What
okay,
else?
Okay, my second favorite thing about Christmas. Now, hear me out.
Yep, what? Sorry. Somebody texted in. The same thing happened with Jackson, as he's like now known as the sock guy. It happened to his uncle, but with bird feeders. So every Christmas, you get a new bird feeder. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't mind that. I love watching the birds.
Uncle Jackson, we got you a new bird feeder. You love bird feeders so much.
I'll tell you, that wouldn't be bad. I would accept that
one. Do you really need a new one every year?
No, Al?
No.
I don't know. Those birds are pecking away. I don't know.
Yeah, the squirrels are getting at them.
Yeah,
they might
good
need
point.
To.
Depends on what kind of wildlife you have. Yeah.
All right. So my second favorite thing about Christmas, and hear me out, the smells of Christmas.
Okay. I know.
Okay?
You must be in a different family than me.
Christmas trees, gingerbread cookies, the Christmas candles, wrapping paper. Like, the smells of Christmas are one of the best things.
There are times when you can, like, step out of the house and just take a deep inhale.
Oh, like the cold air.
It's the best.
Christmas is right around the corner.
The smell of Christmas is my second favorite thing.
I feel like you're smell shaming me. Because I can't smell.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, in your face back there. That's only two. Ooh. Only two on this one for Jackson.
Thanks, Sean.
Tough. Sorry, Jackson. All right. Number three. Mm-hmm. We just talked about it. The presents. Getting the presents.
Thank you.
Is the
you
number three.
You can't
best
not
part about
have
Christmas.
Presents. Anybody who's like, yeah, I don't even care about the presents. Lying.
No,
you're lying.
Liar.
It's somewhere on your list. It doesn't have to be number one, but you're lying if it's not
and
on
it's
your list.
Specifically receiving presents. I don't believe the people that are like, I love to give out presents. I love going shopping and giving out. No, nobody likes going shopping and giving out presents.
Those are people with ideas.
Well, yeah, it's because half the time you ask your dad or your mom, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. This is what happened this year. Not to throw my dad under the bus again. I asked him.
I asked him.
I'm like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. Let me get back to you. Okay, fine. We get lunch the next week. Hey, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I still need another day to think about it. The next day he texts me and he goes, I know what I want for Christmas. And I'm like, oh, great. What do you want? A sweatshirt. That's what I got. He's like, I just want a sweatshirt I can play golf in.
Nice.
I'm like, dude, you needed like 2 weeks to come up with a sweatshirt.
Quarter zip. Get the man a nice quarter zip out there on the golf course.
Oh, yeah,
like a nice like pullover.
You know what
or something
I did?
Like
I got him two.
Nice.
Not to spoil it if he's listening, sorry, but it's just like I'm like, dude, it doesn't take that long to come up with a sweatshirt.
Good point, Billy. Nice job.
He's gonna have two of them.
Nice job listening to your dad. Yeah, he said he wanted one sweatshirt. You went out and got him two.
Nope.
Now you're filling up his closet.
His text.
Now he's gonna get something he really loves in his closet. Your mom's gonna hound him about cleaning out his closet. Now you create a whole issue.
He's gonna have to get rid of something he loves.
Yeah,
to make room
exactly.
For this new
Thank
one.
You.
No. See, he specifically texted. He goes, with a hood, without a hood, I don't mind. So you know what I did? One of each. One with a hood, one without. Quarter zip, sweatshirt, he's golden now.
I like that.
I gave my dad a baseball isn't boring sweatshirt for Christmas last year.
Nice.
Sick, bro.
Is that because you got it for Bradford for free?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's at least an upgrade on a stick. I was bracing for a sticker is what I was bracing for.
I was discount shopping, so I get that. I feel you. But yeah, those are my three favorite things. The Christmas trio, the music, the smell, and the presents.
Love it.
Receiving the presents.
Yeah. I love it. Good stuff, Shime. And meanwhile, you know, if you're ever in need of, if somebody says they don't know what they want, bird feeder. That'd be my new solution.
Good call.
Next time your dad doesn't answer, don't follow up. Bird feeder.
Now
you're the bird. Novelty socks.
Yeah. And or novelty socks. You're now the bird feeder guy. There you go. Christmas trio there with Shime. 617-779-7937. You all done your shopping, by the way, or no?
Yeah, I finished actually on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Not done? I like the thrill of the Christmas Eve shopping. I'll be shopping tomorrow. And so, I'll be doing it in a brick and mortar, in a mall. That's how I like to shop. I'm not ordering online.
Sick brag, bro.
Not planned enough. Yep. Not too lazy. I will walk in the mall with a bunch of other dads scrambling around at the last second tomorrow. And that's how I Christmas shop.
Like, do you bring some kind of a list?
I should do a better job of that. That was one of my tips when we went on the clock for it. I would say I don't always do it, and then you're really screwed if you haven't done that.
Listen in headphones.
Or just listening to your Christmas tunes. Yeah. Smelling the Christmas smells.
I'm picking the soundtrack.
Speaking of smells at Christmas time, Auntie Anne's pretzels when you're in the mall.
Yeah, I'll get
that.
Yeah,
that's a good smell.
I'm gonna get as a guy when I'm in the mall.
As a guy who loves the mall, historically,
on,
I like just going and walking around the mall. I'm a big fan of the way you shop. I love that for you. Yeah. Don't online shop. Go do it in person, people.
Look.
Go to the brick and mortar stores.
I support the national chains in the local malls.
Some
is
local
what
businesses.
I do. Yes. Every once and then there's a local business in there. 617-779-7937. We will get back to Chris Shine making his case for Drake May as MVP. We were rudely interrupted on this. The man didn't get to make the full case.
Mm-hmm.
He will conclude with that coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays. sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.